Hello all and welcome to today's Sunday Q&A, recording just in time at 5 o'clock on Saturday night, because I've done one of those things. You ever do that thing where you think, I ain't got much to do today? Oh, I love it, I ain't got much to do today. I've got the mechanic, but he's going to sort it out. I ended up meeting my mate for a fun run. You don't care. And then suddenly it gets like 2 o'clock and you go, actually, I've got loads to do. And where's all the time gone? So here I am. Nevertheless, done it all, done me tachograph, done me accounts, bum, 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 done the free agent thing. So here we are, Saturday evening. Cheers. Oh, these Jeremy Redruth, oh, that's nice. Right, so this week, Steve, the nefarious Steve Campbell. Right, so this is the thing. The lorry's been playing up a little bit, and it's an intermittent fault. Steve Campbell says, does your DAF have an auto engine cutoff around 5 minutes? If so, try pushing the plus button on the cruise control to bring the revs up slightly, leave it 10 minutes, and then turn off the engine. That might reset it. That's not it. Niall Wilson says, check out the throttle or throttle position. Has it only started doing this if it's cold outside? Look at the ambient temperature. If it's within a degree or two on the dash with the outside temperature, it's probably okay. That might be partly it. Or partly something, because Mark's done a thermostat and a thermostat sender, which presumably sends the temperature, because I bought the wrong one. I bought the one, they went, you know, like, when you open up the bag, you go, there you go. And Mark went, what's this? And I wanted to turn around, well, from your reaction, presumably the wrong part, because I bought the bit that tells you how much it senses the header tank. How much sort of fluid there is in the header tank. No, we need a temperature sender, which apparently we don't need anyway. We just needed a thermostat. But as the other guy turned around and said, well, you've got one, you might as well fit it anyway. But you see, anyway, finally, Nick Holmes says, it might be worth getting out an auto electrician to give the truck a once over. They will probably be able to methodically check the electrical system, test the parts, and work out what's going on, because otherwise you could basically, the long and short of it is, you need to get someone to know what's going on. Otherwise, you're just going to throw good money after bad. It's going to be a video. I mean, you could kind of see where it was going, which is going to be the intermittent fault. I've now got a list as long as my arm of videos that I've got to bring, that I've got to get out to bring everything up to speed. But at least I've got content. Thanks very much for commenting. I'll be lost without you. At least I've got content. So, yeah, so there will be a video, which is... And I kind of thought, well, why am I doing a video moaning about the fact my truck isn't working? And then I thought, well, now, hold on a second, because there's going to be a load... Because it's not the first time I've been in this position. There's going to be a load of people out there that are also in a very similar position thinking, what do I do? So there will be a video, the intermittent fault. You know, I had one once with a Sprinter. Admittedly, the way I solved the intermittent fault with that was Penny. I sold it, which is a bit drastic, I kind of. But that wasn't the only thing it was time to go, like, you know. But the intermittent fault is coming to you. In the meantime, question of the week, which is always too handy because I can make videos on this. I've written this down already. Bloom Fondom says, hi Pete, thanks for the video. However, I'm a bit confused about trying to sell the van because he didn't show the van to a potential buyer. Have a great evening. Ken, eventually, because Nick, my mate Nick, the young trucker, might have a super duper looter to sell. He said the van itself's an LDV, but the body, it's got like an 8 meter body, curtain side, it's got like that mesh super light tail lift, which is like 500 kilos. He said legally this vehicle can hold 1.1 ton. This is a Luton, and it can hold 8 pallets and 1.1 tonne, but it's on an LDV. So what you might want to do is you might want to sort of take the body off the LDV, stick it on like, I don't know, a new Sprinter or a newish Sprinter or a newish kind of Transit, and you'd be ready to go. It's kind of in the market. It's kind of might be coming up soon. We might end up doing a video separately, but if that's the kind of thing that interests you, he's my mate and he looks after me, and he's one of those. I'm in a very lucky situation. I've got about 4 or 5 people behind me since I relaunched, and without them I would be utterly lost at sea, and I'm incredibly lucky that I've got all of them. It's like having a vanguard. He's part of the vanguard. So if that's the kind of thing you're interested in, because I'm just trying to help people as I can, particularly the ones that help me, stick something in the comments. If not, we'll sort it out later. It's not a problem. I'm sure we'll come to it in time. But he says, yes, Ken eventually sold his van. And the guy, he basically sold it sort of very, very, a big loss. And then the guy went, I'm ever so sorry, my friend. I've got really bad news for you. But we've done our due diligence on this. Your van's been clocked. So there's going to be a video coming out on this one, because this is another potential problem that you guys have got to avoid when you're buying a motor. And it's a real problem. Apparently it was on Jeremy Vine. Ken said it was on Jeremy Vine 2 weeks ago. And I listened to it, and then it happened to me. So, and if you did, but before I get around the video, if you have had experience of buying a motor and then finding out afterwards it's been clocked, which is not a nice thing, it nearly happened to me once. The guy rang me up, in fact, but we'll do the video. And stick it in the comments. We'll include it. We'll include it in the video. Why not, indeed? John says, this is the other one. John says, because of the question of the week. Question of the week basically just means I'm going to make a video out of it. John says, question, does the CX get the hump if you deal with shippers outside the CX after seeing jobs in the CX, in theory cutting the CX out? No, but we'll do your video. So, I did one this week on what percentage of jobs I got off the CX. Didn't really get any comments on that one, so that didn't go away. But we did the mega job that I am on for. This is going to be a four-parter. It's a big one. Strap yourself in. And this is the job I did for Ian, going up to Victoria Road 2 and back. So, yeah. But he says, my mate Nick at London Creative. I'll do your link, Nick. I haven't done him for a link for ages. He's got his own channel out there. Let's see if we can get him a link out. Everyone loves a subscriber. It might not be your cup of tea, but everyone loves a subscriber, like, you know. He says, because he helps me out with advice on videos. He said, nicely done, Pete. All those J cuts and L cuts and cutaway shots, like the camera behind the reversing truck, too, more or less, please. So, yeah, I took his advice. He says, when you do these Life on the Road videos, you've got to tell a story. So I end up doing this thing where I open the cab door, put the camera down, press record, shut the cab door. Open the cab door, climb into the cab, press stop on the phone so that you can actually see me climbing at the cab. You know what always makes, I don't know if I said this, but I'm sure I'm probably repeating myself. It always makes me smile. Where it's kind of one of those sort of surprise on the doorstep things. And the woman opens up the door and there's like Shane Ritchie standing outside with a camera crew. And they go, hello, Sharon. And she goes, oh, it's Shane Ritchie. He's come to see me. And you think, yeah, hold on a second. You're being filmed from behind. So someone's knocked on the door and gone, right, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to come in. I'm going to set my camera up. Then in a minute, you're going to open the door, act surprised. But it's the kind of thing. Does not everybody think, well, this is clearly, she knows he's there because there's already a guy behind him. Anyway, I don't know, that's just me. Dale Steele says, oh, all right, this is to do with the 10% thing. On the fact that, you know, you can go 55 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone thing. He said the 10% thing is to do with calibration. Police don't allow 10% but speedos usually do. They're usually 10% slower than your actual speed. So if you have a sat nav, look at the speed on your sat nav, it shows slower than your speedo. And he's right. Because the problem is a lot of car manufacturers don't want to be sued from the fact that, well, I read the speedo and the speedo said I was doing 70, but I got fined for being 72 and therefore it's your fault. So they deliberately make the speedos to go to read a speed which is slightly faster than you're actually going. That's great. The thing about truck speedos is they don't. Truck speedos are accurate. If my dad's speedo says I'm doing 56, I'm doing 56, and I know I'm doing 56 because, as Dale Steele says, if you look at your sat nav, which is GPS linked, my sat nav says I'm doing 56, my truck says I'm doing 56. Therefore, if I'm going through a zone and it says 50, I lock it off at 50 because I'm doing 50. And he's right. If you're in a car and it says you're doing 50, you can probably do 54 because you're probably doing 50. Fair enough. Unless you've got a sat nav, that's the way forward. But here you go. And also the sat nav, like Waze, has got the red bar at the back. So if you actually go over the 52, the little red light comes, like the red bar, and you're going a bit too quick here, and I'll slow down. I don't want the points. I've actually got a clean license at the moment, and I don't want the points. Don't want insurance. Don't want a grief. Don't want to have a day off work to do the really interesting, refreshing course that tells me about bubbles and leaving space. It's fine the first two times. I've got it by now. You know, Paul Oldfield says, he says, I used to enjoy the old VIP job in the day. It's always different. That is one. I do, you know, when it goes well, when the lorry isn't playing silly pieces. I love my job. Friday, everything went like clockwork. Got one off, got a job quick, done it. Small distribution centre, distribution centre. I was getting off so fast, I didn't even have enough time to take a break. And then I done another job, and then got loaded for the morning. And it was, the radio was good, and it was a clear, crisp, blue winter's day. And I'm thinking, there's nothing finer than this. When it works, it's great. It's just when it's grief, it's not. It's like anything. And Drama Dem said, older, fatter version of some of the SAS. Yes, that's basically the size of things. That's me in a black T-shirt. And like I said, I've started the park run. You try and do a little bit. I said, when I was a market trader, I used to have like one of them watches, and it would say, you've done 6,000 steps today. And I used to get really smug. People go, what's your step count? Oh, 7,000. How? I'm on my feet all day. The second I jumped into a lorry, I took the watch off. I don't want to know that I've done 27 steps a day, but I'm aware of the fact that I'm not moving anymore, so I've got to get moving. That's it, basically. So, right, so that was this week's video, and which brings us neatly on to the wise guys. Craig says, I was heading north on the... Oh, we actually done a few replies this time. I think it makes some sense. I was heading north on the M6 on Monday, and I saw a fuel tanker getting towed. And I was thinking, does the wrecker driver need ADR to be towing a stranded fuel tanker? I don't know if it's full or not. I assume it was empty. Nick comes sweeping in, my man. And he says, yes, the recovery driver needs to have an ADR qualification or have an ADR qualified person with them when recovering a hazardous goods vehicle. It's great. Do you know what the amount, you know, when you do, I did a little while trying to do the knowledge. And the amount of information, Dave the Chris will tell you this, the amount of information that you've actually got to get and retain. There's an argument saying London cab drivers have actually got a lower Alzheimer's rate because the amount of the way their brain is working all the time. Oh, okay, left here, the complier roundabout, left here, and it's going all the time. It's going like tick, 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 and it keeps it active. The amount of information that anyone has ever got to do a transport manager course, it's like my hat goes off to anyone with a green badge. And my hat goes off to anyone who's done a transport manager course. I think it's fundamentally fantastic. He says, yeah, recovering goods vehicle, the only exemption is if they're being escorted by emergency services. I mean, how would you got an only exemption as well? I'm just impressed, you know? Cool. Which brings us on to miscellaneous. Which actually, today's conversation is basically about wheel nuts. Steve Campbell, because we're working out, it's that thing that if you get pulled by the ministry, and I've often wondered, without wheel nut indicators, they go, how do you test your wheel nuts? And you go, I look at them. I've got a torque wrench and I check them every morning. What are you telling me that you go around every morning and check 40 wheel nuts with a torque wrench? And yet on your clock, it says that your walk around inspection was 8 minutes. It would take you longer than 8 minutes to do that alone. Have you even checked the lights? This ain't going to work, is it? So Steve Campbell says, the correct answer is if you look at the threads on the studs. If every stud shows 6 threads, each of the wheel nuts come loose. But then my eyes aren't that great. I've got the sort of the bins, haven't I? I couldn't see that. But fair enough. Godzilla says, he said, I had an ex-sergeant major who helped me through my test. And he used to start each day by walking around with a hammer and bouncing it off the studs. He reckoned if it pinged, the nuts were good. And then if it thud, they needed tight. So he actually got a hammer every morning, went ding, 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 ding. Fair enough. That works. You got the time for that? He said, they needed tight. And he said, we all thought those were off his rocker. Life is too short. I would agree with you on that one. Nick says, Mick, my mate, he said, actually, he said, your sergeant major in that score is right. He said, when I first started working in the industry, this was how we used to check wheel nuts with a small hammer. Even now, if you take a truck for inspection, the fitters check the wheel nuts and other major notes on the vehicle. And this is why an inspection is sometimes referred to as going for a tip-tap. I've never heard that before. I just read that. I like that. It's going for, I'm keeping that. I'm writing that one down. It's going for a tip-tap. And he's right, because it is a bit of a pain, because when I have to take the trucks, particularly at four, like, I take the trucks from the MOT, the first thing I had to do, before they went in, you have to take off 40 wheel nut indicators. But. And then once it's done, you have to put them back on again. That's 80 wheel nut indicators. And sometimes they don't. If you've got, the sensible thing is you've got a pair of grips. Click, click, click. If you haven't got a pair of grips, it's like, there's always one. So it's not going to come off. I'll get me Swiss Army knife out of my bag. And I'll cut my finger now. You know, because I'm like that. I had to fit two lights. Don't even get me on lights. Ask me about lights. I'll tell you about lights. I've had another disaster. But yeah, take it for tip-tap. If you've ever taken a truck for an MOT, the DVSA examiner will always use a hammer to check the wheel nuts for the inspection. That's all lovely. But he does make a point afterwards. He said, Pete, he said, no wheel nut indicators, although they're not a legal requirement at the moment, but road safety campaigners and the DVSA are keen to keep them. So it won't be long before they will become compulsory. I personally think it's good practice and shows that you're trying to be compliant as a professional operator having them on your vehicle. Plus, if you were ever to lose a wheel and had to go in front of the traffic commissioner, you would struggle to explain how you check your wheel nuts on a daily basis and for reasons, you know, like having wheel nut indicators. To me, it's just straightforward. They're not even there. You get the little green ones that are about, I don't know, 80 pence each, or you get the big ring. I'll do you a link to the video. I don't know what it is. Nick told me what it was. The one that I've got around the rims. And in fact, they look good. Because they're not horrible and green, and well, I don't mind green. I don't mind day-glow green. Me trainers when I do the run, you know, day-glow orange or something like that. I don't mind that, but they're just sensible. It doesn't hurt. Get them on your vehicle, and then if you ever get pulled over, and a guy says, "How do you check your wheel?" They're not even going to say, "How do you check your wheel nuts?" Is he? He's going to take one look and go, "You got wheel nut indicators." That's telling you that they're all tight. Bing bong, super. Dave the Chris says. He says, "Why yo? He said, "Why is it? Why is it 30 or 90 days? It seems a little unfair. We're all aware of how long we have to wait to get paid. You do a job, and after 3 months, you have to chase it. How do you keep track of it?" There is a video coming up on this one. I think I did. I wrote it down. The advantages of factoring, because I'm obviously getting much more into it now, because before when I had it, it was just me in the loop and van with a factoring company. Then I had the firm, I had the back office to take care of things, which they really didn't. And the more I get into it, the more frustrated I get, because when we were running trucks, there was so much money coming in. It's like, what did you do? Where are you now? What are you doing? We had it all. And it's all just gone. So when I'll build it on my own, that's fine. No problem. I'll build it on my own. But yeah, there's I actually worked out. I got paid from someone 2 days ago, and then I went onto my account software, and it wasn't there because I'd forgotten to write it down. And I looked for my diary. I've got a diary. I've got account software. I've got the CX software. I've got like four or five backups. Went through the diary because I'd put two jobs together. I'd missed it. But fortunately, I'd missed it. But because it was created automatically through the CX, through that Smart Pay, they hadn't missed it, and it had been sent. But you think, well, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to make that mistake again. But yeah, there's plenty to be getting on with. There is tracking. It is relatively easy for one guy. If you're tracking 20 vehicles or 10 vehicles or even 5 vehicles, I can understand how it can potentially get very difficult. But for one guy, not a problem. And finally, Tajish Patel says, "Don't waste your time. The CX will make money even if you don't. Absolute waste of money. That's my opinion. I spent 6 years on the platform pre-COVID and I'm no longer on it." It doesn't work for everybody. I've said it a million times before. It is not a magic wand. You get out what you put in. No one is going to knock on your door and go, "Here's £1 million. It works for me. It might not work for you. That's it. Try it, don't try it. I'm not holding a gun to your head. If it works for you, try it, and you don't like it, find something else to do. I hope what you do makes you happy. There we go. This week's Sunday Q&A. Please, I got it out. I can download if I upload this on the computer. Do you find anything like this running is something insidiously creeping its way in here? Creeping to me. And I'm thinking, well, I could do the video in the morning, or if I do the video now, I could have a run in the morning. I'll wake up in the morning going, oh, I'll never run. I hate running. It's rubbish. Then I'll go for a run. So, yeah, so three weeks of Christmas, you know. I was surprised, actually. I thought it was four, but it's three. Get your heads down. Get the dough in. It will start to ease off. It will. I mean, I've done video. I could do another video on what's it like over Christmas, but I think I've done two. If you want, Google it. It's out there somewhere. But, yeah, 3 weeks of Christmas, and then we get a rest. But 3 weeks to crack on, and take care and take money.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.